more than phase three with automatic transmission. You don't have to shift manually, you just shift automatically. Questions on that? So everything's a big conceptual difference between UltraScan and phase three. Not where it concerns variance, not where it concerns using meridian variant. You can use the same technique, pegging everyone to the same meridian in phase three as you can with UltraScan, as UltraScan does. Yeah?
Michael, are you saying then that in UltraScan, you could take various horses, let's say 15 amp furlong. If you answered yes to each one of these, you would get a variant. Could you apply that to each horse?
No, it does it automatically.
Or you say yes and only apply the open, not the third. You say yes, apply open only, not third.
It would come out the same way as it
did. That's precisely true. It
didn't do anything.
It would be adjusting each horse to its face line
as you...
What you did before when you took that face line from Santa Anita and the ones from Belmont? UltraScan with open adjustment only would do precisely the same thing because it takes the face line of each one of those horses, adjusts it to itself, and adjusts each one to the other to a meridian energy factor of 56 feet per second.
You get the exact same rank.
And you could put 59 in it, just have higher numbers, you get the same
54 rank. Or anything.
We pick a number.
We picked 100 to try it.
Well, I was just wondering, let's say you had a 6 furlong horse and maybe a couple of 6 amp or something like that. Would there be enough difference there that you're,
The pace of their race determines the variance. And that's, they're adjusted, that then, if they're 5781, it's subtracted from 56, which gives them a minus adjustment of 181. If the other one's 55, it gets a plus adjustment of 1. They're all adjusted to each other's pace line. Then, their beaten lengths determine which of those entries run best against that meridian pace. Now, the danger is, in making any variance, if you take some sloppy 114 horse who doesn't belong in there, and you adjust him to the 111s, you're going to expect to see the 114 look like a world beater, not because that the variant program didn't work, but because you put in a horse that just didn't belong to be adjusted up. So that's with anything.
In the back?
Yes, does UltraScan take into consideration turf to dirt? Is that what you're saying, Walter?
UltraScan... Well, you do a turf to dirt, that's why you use wind energy. Now, you have to, that's why Jimmy came up with finding high energy as opposed to finding meridian energy. High wind energy. The reason is, and you will get this when you get your readouts, that sustained pace and sustained percentage is so much more important than dirt. He might be your fourth UltraScan horse. But if he's got the best sustain, he's going to be better on the turf. You've got to find the wind energy requirements on the surface. So out of your top five, you might get, whether it be UltraScan or phase three, you're going to take the two that best conform to turf energy if it's on the turf, wind energy, and dirt wind energy if it's on the dirt. And that's so important, and that's why you win those races. That's the only adjustment you need, turf to dirt.
Howard mentioned one caution to be leery of if you use the meridian variant in phase three or in UltraScan is adjusting the slow horse. The second is going back to the speed burn. If this horse can run back to that race, you don't want to downgrade. Another thing that you've got to remember on the meridian variant, either in phase three or UltraScan, if you adjust one horse, they all must be adjusted. Because you're using a meridian to establish that has been set up, so all of the horses have to be adjusted. The only time that you can adjust only the horses that need adjusting is using the one that Bobby and Michael showed you.
When you get full of the meridian, you better sure that it's like Greenwich time. The chime changes as you go from the meridian.
If you're sitting out in the boat somewhere and you decide you're going to be on East India time when you're near Greenland, you have fouled up the detail.
You missed your boat.
Okay, then basically, using UltraScan, if you apply the adjustments to all horses, your UltraScan rating and your UltraScan variant rate and plus variant, okay, will still rate the same unless they're very close.
No. You're talking specifically UltraScan now. There are several ways to use UltraScan. We have a program called Combo Scan coming out, which shows you all four of the potentials. Well, no, it's UltraScan, but it shows you the potential. You asked for it. Combo. The best way to use UltraScan is to say no to the adjustments and take a Brohammer model on the four readouts you get, which is ultra raw, ultra invariant, early and late. Why? Because ultra raw will pick your fastest horse. Ultra invariant will pick your horse all to a meridian variant. Early and late, naturally meaning what they are your distinguishing features in forming a wind model. Now, why do you want those four? If you say yes and make any kind of adjustment, the ultra-invariant readout is meaningless. You cross it off. Now you've only got three to make a model on. By saying yes, you would get the same horse as you'd get by ultra-invariant, but it's making no adjustment. Also by saying no, if you get a four ultra and a one ultra-invariant, or vice versa, it is like saying, if your computer came on red to you, long shot, you couldn't have a better tool, because it's telling you when there's a wide discrepancy between ultra and ultra-invariant that you have a long-shot potential there. And I don't know any other computer program in the world that tells you when you have a long-shot potential. A rash delineation between those two, a vast difference, 4-1, 5-1, 1-5, tells you, examine this race. Find out why it's the fastest horse and yet it's the slowest with an adjustment, or vice versa. What that means is that you've got that 44-109 horse. Find out whether that 44-109 came off such a fast daily variant that it's not going to possibly be duplicated, or whether that is de rigueur for the race and the variant is elevating the others too much. And it's so simple to do it. And in the answers menu, you have several races to give you examples of that. But I know of no aspect of phase three except for the old 333 that told you long shot in the wings, rather than seeing that 4-1 or 1-5 or 5-1. Now when you see 3-2, 1-2, you know the balanced ultra and ultra invariant is where most of your winners come from. You build a model. The model says, hey, my winners are coming from the top three ultra raw and the top two ultra invariant, or vice versa. You'll find that pattern so frequently in UltraScan. Jimmy and I go to Las Vegas, and shucks, he says yes, I say no, and we come with the same horses. Same percentage, he might bet slightly different horses than I in the 17 ribs of the play.
Jimmy always says yes.
A situation where you've adjusted one horse, turf to dirt, or vice versa, and what do you do with all the rest when they've come off apparently?
Well, today's race is a turf race.
Either, okay.
And now you have found out what the high energy is. You have created a high energy situation, and the turf energy. It's going to be higher than dirt because sustained pace always creates a higher total energy figure. So all you're doing is now not so much worrying about the. If you're doing it in an UltraScan, you're talking about an UltraScan, you're not worried about the ultra numbers as long as they're in the top five. You're only worried only about the early late. He can be fifth UltraScan. The turf horse will probably be very high in UltraScan if he did well on the turf, but if he did not do well on the turf, he's probably should be on the dirt. So what you're saying is this horse manifesting dirt early energy? Or is he still manifesting that turf late energy? You're looking for the early late relationship much more in turf dirt relationships than you are in just total. So that's why when you're making your profile, you want to use your open adjustment with your profile numbers, if you're going to not just take them raw, you want to take them from wind energy.
I understand that part, but my question is, doesn't that mess up your, in doing that, to adjusting one over, and let's assume you have other races, other horses in the turf who are...
You're still going to put in an energy figure, it's going to be for all horses.
This is where I'm confused, this is the point.
Just put it in open adjustment. You do exactly the same thing as you did before.
Right.
If you want to use a meridian, you can, or if you want to use high energy, you can. It's what makes you happy, because you're going to get the same horses. But instead of paying attention to who's got the best ultra or ultra invariant, you're going to see which horse has the best early late in the top five.
George, you use ultra scan, don't you?
Yeah.
Just use the open adjustment, zero third fraction, and you've got it. Same as this.
Okay.
If it needs adjusting.
Okay. Anybody want to take a break?
Don't worry about it.
We'll do it, George. Take a half a dozen dirt races and do it, and build your own confidence from seeing it. There's all this starting trouble again. I can see it. Have we established the fact that when you make a variant and you adjust all horses to that variant, you're adjusting?
I trust people.
Just as well off adjusting to an arbitrary meridian variant.
Yes.
For those of you who want to explore the variant situation farther, and keeping a daily variant, which would also adjust your factor, that's just a day-by-day variant, by-race variant, that is slightly different. By establishing par times, if you really want to get into that, you probably get about 3% more winners over the year than Tom Brohammer. I'm putting this on the tape. Tom will listen to these tapes.
Yeah, he's getting the cover.
Tom Brohammer is writing a book on how to do that, but don't enter into that venture until you're ready to make it a long-term commitment, because doing it that way, for what few horses more it'll get you, would be worth it only to you if you wanted to call yourself a consummate pro. The reason Tom does it is not because he gets that many more winners doing it. It is because he concentrates on a race and he's determined to win that race. He only plays two or three a day. Sometimes less, Bob, I suppose, one or two. But he has such a high confidence level that he will win that race or those two races that he puts a lot of money on it. That is his temperament, to be specific and accurate and have that race down to an ass eyebrow and then put a bundle of money on it. If you have the kind of a temperament that Bradshaw and myself have, we'd rather play 17 races a day and take that same 500 or 1,000 or whatever bankroll and spread it among those 17 and have the fun of getting 9 or 10 or 11 out of the 17 or 12, whatever we get,
We don't get to go track every day.
No, we go gung-ho when we go. It all depends on your temperament. If you are a big hitter, like somebody told me he was, you better darn well know everything about the race you're making your big bet on. I've always felt that Tom Brohammer can pretty well predict what races he has a maximum chance in. I can't. I couldn't tell you whether I have more of a chance in this race where the 480 horse is going to win or where the 4900 horse is going to win. I don't care. Play them and count up your money afterwards. I don't have any way of telling you that I've got, except the bristles on the back of my neck. That's the only way I can tell you when one race is more predictive to me than the other. I'm a volume player. He's a volume player. Pozzola is getting to be a volume player. Quigley is a selective volume player. Purdy, he will play with 100% of pocket. And 100% of pocket. If it looks good, he's got $500, he puts $500 on it. If he loses the race, he says, "Loan me $500. He wins the next one. He pays you back. He bought He had a lock on some. He'd been fooling around in Omaha, and now he decided he's going to win because he hasn't any money left. So he says, "Give me 100." I said, "Give him 100." Before I know it, he's giving me 500 back. I said, "What's this for?" He says, "That's the interest, and give the rest to Glenn Smock." That Glenn needed an operation and we were contributing. He had the money back with interest so fast I didn't know what had happened. That he played in the exact.
Looked like a yo-yo.
But if you are a cautious player, then I would advise you to understand all this sort of thing. If you are a volume player, use the meridian. I'm stalling a little bit because Dick Schmidt is going to carry the ball here, and probably the coup de grace. There is nothing more predictive of the future than the past. The word regression merely means to go back. Remember, we started this by talking how we determined the viable variables by taking first one race and then came to 28,000 races and finding what factors were predictive of a winner. Those factors became factor W in phase three, early pace and sustained pace, and a few little refinements that Dick will include tonight, plus percentage early. In ultra scan, it became ultra invariant percentage early and early pace and late pace. To be able to tell what is winning at your track is just as important as picking the horses that have the most likelihood of winning per se. Now you isolate which horses are most likely to win at your track by their running style. The subject of bias was never in the handicapping literature, I don't think, before Davidowitz and Beyer introduced it. When they introduced it, they did not realize what a marvelous thing they were introducing, because they introduced bias only as a generic, especially affecting post positions and a kind of a front speed and living or dying were their phrases. The front speed holds on or it dies. They did not realize what they were pioneering. But what they pioneered was a term that made everybody conscious of the characteristics of a track. Now, even in their wisdom, because they're pioneers never, you know, somebody has to come after the pioneers and refine the land they discover. Because they were pioneers, they did not understand all the nuances of what the can of worms they had opened, or the horizons they had opened. What we were able to determine by subsequent study was that tracks had early energy requirements by percentage of early and late. The tracks would definitely impose upon winners a ranking and a relationship at the second call and in the final fraction. It could be measured in first, second, or third, or fourth ranking as opposed to their ranking in the final fraction. Ranking plus a precise percentage of energy is far more important than just the horse's velocity. How it dispenses that velocity in terms of energy became the key. You did that in the form of line scores in the blue manual and in the yellow manual. We gave you generic line scores, and we said it did not matter whether the 3 and the 2 and the 1 appeared first, second, or third. That would have to be determined by you as to what was the most predictive at your individual track. Tom Brohammer then came on the scene, and he said, "Well, I am going to chart those line scores at every track I play and determine specifically, day by day, week by week, cycle by cycle, what those line scores should be by distance at my tracks." Subsequently, with his pioneering of this, we found such an established pattern created by this regression that we call it the Brohammer model. The Purdy model didn't have enough syllables.
The Bradshaw model didn't have enough syllables. Brohammer model. It's a 3-2 syllabic structure, so he got the call. Dick has mastered the Brohammer model. Dick has been with us less than anybody. He's been with us less than a lot of you. And he mastered the Brohammer model very swiftly and is quite well equipped to carry the ball, because Tom unfortunately couldn't be here because of deep family commitments. Before Dick comes up, I'd like to, where are you? I'm just talking to you up there, but my man with the 9 for 9 on the morning line. 9 for 9 in the morning. Where are you? You out in the hall? Where'd he go? Wasn't he a client? Some fellow came up to me and said he had 9 for 9 at Saratoga, with only two exceptions and since the track opened.
The ghost of handicapper past.
He must have gone out. But anyway, he was able to get, using that morning line recapitulation, the top five on the morning line, he was able to get only two exceptions since Saratoga's opened, all the winners, every race is big, plus triples and all sorts of things. He said he had never seen it explained that way, but it was very effective. But he's not here to testify it, so it's hearsay.
About buying a Mercedes.
But it does work. So here's Dick with the Brohammer model.
Could be Lux Mercedes.
Okay, I have audio visual aids and everything. I brought some things to pass out, and Howard told me there would be 55 people here, so I brought 60. And there are more than 60 people in here. So if the person next to you is not socially objectionable, please share.
So if we can just start those on that side of the room,
and those on that side of the room, and just kind of in that direction, in the diagonal method. Oh, and I found something over here that I love.
Yeah, I love the idea.
Oh,
are we doing this?
It is not as predictive as some of the others, and if you want it, the hack here will put it on any program you want. $6 and all the grits you need.
While you're passing out, I'll tell you why we have not stressed it as much. A is only effective in sprints and in miles. B, it was stolen by some guy and sold as the track secret or something. He sold it for $90. Oh. Yes, sir.
I have to disagree with you about that. In Belmont,
it's
incredibly predictive in turf
race. Yes, it is incredibly predictive. It's very predictive in any race in which a sustained pace is important, but early pace cannot be ignored. Yeah, it's a very good factor. But the problem, here's a real reason is, not because the guy pirated it and everything. The real reason is that you can live without it, you can't live without factor W. The real reason is that when you give people too many readouts, you cause them to lose because they can't interpret too many of them. The fewer the readouts you get, the more likely you are to win.
I didn't get the question.
The question is, whatever happened to factor X?
Don't worry about it. You can win without it. We're going to show you how to win without it. All right, everyone. Now, I really happen to be enthusiastic about the Brohammer model.
I have an extra one.
Whoa, an extra one.
Show us. Show some enthusiasm.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Who could I poke enthusiastically?
No, not that.
Michael's variants are key. Michael's variants will get you from 63 to 70. The Brohammer model will get you from 30 to 63. I know, because it did. This is neat, it's powerful, and it really, really works. Okay? What you have here is a model that I kept at Santa Anita. And I would just like to ask someone from the audience to tell me which two. I have four horses. I just chose them. I cook these numbers. They have no relationship to reality. I just picked four names at random: Bob and Howard, and Jim and Mike. And I put some numbers by them. Now, does everyone understand what a fort is? I hope I'm not insulting anyone's intelligence, but I've done this before, and I know there are people that are confused. Down at the bottom of your printout, no matter what computer you have, I think, you get a sort. And all it's telling, just like down at the bottom, it's sorted in rank order. Highest first. Bob here has the highest factor W number. No matter what it is, it's the highest. And we have just sorted it in order. Number two, number three, number four. Everyone with me? Early pace is exactly the same, except different horses get different numbers. One here, two, three, four. I have to point it. Everyone understand how every number there was arrived at. Now you've done your handicapping, you've made your variance, the hard stuff is behind you. It's time to go to the windows. Would anyone tell me which two horses to bet, please? What two to play?
Depends on the track.
That's your story. Belmont, which two do you play? The answer is, there, no matter what you tell me, I'm going to tell you you're wrong.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. You don't know yet. And let me tell you how to answer that question. Because if you'll notice up here, I cooked these numbers really nicely. There are no two horses that are outstanding. At Belmont, you play a certain two horses, and at Saratoga, you're going to play two completely different horses. At certain tracks, you're going to play one, at certain tracks, you're going to play another. Now, the model that I passed among you, by the way, these big white strips down here, originally these were all covered with numbers. But there were three. Remember, I told you that I track all kinds of different things for Purdy and Brohammer and things. I had three different readouts on here, and they did not work. They are DOA. So I just blanked them out so as not to confuse you. Now, I want to show you how you keep a model, because this is the technical step here. What you do is you watch the race. And we're going to watch this race, and then run around the track, and one of the horses wins. In this case, we'll just say Howard won. No reason at all for that, but here's what we're going to do. Are you ready for this? We're going to take our sort and we're going to draw a circle. That's literally as easy as it is to keep a Brohammer model. There's nothing else that you need to do. No more thought is involved. Interpreting it is a little more difficult. Now, Howard won the race, and we circled his numbers. Did everyone see that? Any questions? These are your numbers. You did the handicapping. You got these numbers. You made whatever bet. It doesn't matter what. I didn't say what horse you should bet. I said what horses won. What horse won. We're not looking at plays here. We're looking just at the winners today. All right? Clear to everyone? I know I have confused people on this very same point.
Yeah, but you're going to use always the same factor?
Well, this is if you have phase three, this is what you get.
Oh, okay.
You only get one. If you had ultrasound, you'd have four.
Right.
But you just take what you get. Yeah. Ultrascan would give you four different factors, but you do exactly the same thing. You circle the winning horse. Now, the technical part is you write it down. And you write it down. I have to keep them like this. Bob Kaufman keeps them like this. It doesn't matter. Now, I went back in my records a little bit because, as I said earlier, my Hollywood Park model probably doesn't bear much relationship to your play back here because it didn't rain once. We haven't had any rain in Los Angeles since May. We probably won't for another couple of 3 months. But we really laugh when you hear about 3 week droughts back here. It's wonderful stuff. But I went back to last February and March when we were getting real rainstorms. I mean serious rainstorms. And this is, at the beginning of this model, I had really only been doing this for about a month, and the numbers sort of reflect that. But where I want to call your attention to is the upper right-hand set of numbers. They start here, where it's labeled 223, the date, February 23rd. And what I'd like you to do, it's not really very technical. These are winners of each race. The first race, 228, the first race, 3-1, the first race, the second race. This is the winners. We only put winners on a Brohammer model. Got it? I just want you to run your eye down the column labeled AP, which is factor W, average pace. Just run your eye down there and look for the ones and twos and threes and see if you like that. Not too bad. Now I want you to move over to the sustain column, which is on the right. And again, just run your eye down there. Pukey, right? Fours, fives. Now we're going to come to the column that's my personal favorite. Run your eye down the one called early pace. Just run your eye down that. Whoa. You'll notice there's a line drawn here. I drew it in a little heavier. It's in blue on line. I hope it showed up. Where the note rain is. Hush up back here. The line here, that's where this particular model ends. But until then, we hit 13 out of 14, 1-2 up. And friends, that's as good as it gets. That means if I see these numbers up here, I'm going to bet Mike and Bob. Any more thoughts than that right there? Because at this particular time, early pace was tremendously strong. Now, factor W was also very strong. And most of the time, they tend to move together just because of the nature of the numbers. They don't on this model because I didn't have them do it that way. But does everyone see how this can be used to really improve your handicap? This is not only handicapping what the track is doing, handicaps what you do. Because these are not absolute numbers. These are my numbers. If you were handicapping at Santa Anita the same races, the same horses, you would not have the same numbers. If you would not have the same pace lines, you wouldn't have made the same adjustments, we wouldn't have agreed at certain times. I'd have used an interior fraction and you wouldn't. All kinds of things would have happened. Everyone clear so far? Yes, sir.
The numbers themselves are meaningless, right?
No, they're not meaningless.
Well, I mean, you just use any numbers, right?
No. I'm looking, 13 out of 14 are rated number one or two early pace.
Yeah, is that what
you're getting at? Absolutely. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, sir.
Curiosity, why on any number of pace are there only one or two races?
because I only play one or two races. Notice up at the top says sprints. I'm rather selective. I rarely play more than four or five races a day max. And of those, it's a couple sprints.
This is a sprint model only.
We do this by distance, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute.
Now, were you figuring all the sprints on those days, or were there sprints?
These are the ones that I actually figured and played, and I play most of them. I tend not to play the bottom of the barrel, and at that time, this is what I play. And that's the reason there aren't as many. Plus, I don't get to the track every day.
You only put in the races that you actually handicap and bet.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Don't handicap races just to fill up your model. That's not going to get you anywhere. Only the races that you take the time to handicap and push your money through the window.
Yes, sir.
Okay, there was one really good run, let's say, from 223 to 38. If I take the rest of the sheet...
We're going to get to the rest of the sheet. We're just going to look at this first block right here for now. We're going to get to the... Believe me, we will get to the rest of the sheet. Okay? What we're going to do is primarily focus on this half. I'm much prouder of this half than I am of this half. But that's as simple as it is. Yes, sir?
Why would you keep this model, using the result chart on a daily basis?
I do, but we'll get to that in a while.
Okay. And, and the other thing is, do you have to be... really specific and break it down to each distance, or if you can just put it up?
I keep, at Santa Anita, I keep six models. I keep sprints, mile, and routes, and then turf sprints, which are down the hill, and two turf route models. But you keep, I would say every distance you keep until you find two that are always the same. At Santa Anita, they don't run sixes, and the six and a half and sevens are about the same all the time. We're getting to that. We're only looking down to this first line now. We're just looking at the first 14 races on the right. We're going to cover that. Trust me on this. Remember, you have a German teaching you. Fascist tendencies come out. You'll be able to do it my way. Now, I just want to make it clear. I want you to see how you would use these numbers, because if the same pace is winning at your track, you bet Howard and Jim. If early pace is winning at your track, you bet Mike and Bob. If Factor W is winning at your track, you bet Bob and Howard. Different combinations. Okay? Everyone think that there's... Depending on which one is positive, if there's a combination of two, if you need to be in the top two, Factor W, and the top one sustained, or top two sustained, there's only one horse that fits, and that's how. Okay?
Do you think your win energy plays along with this, or does this substitute for that? Or?
Yes, but we'll get to those.
Yes, you do both?
Yes, I do both. I keep records you wouldn't believe. Yes, ma'am.
If your model spend all fours winning Factor W, would you play all fours in Factor W?
Theoretically, you could, yes. If your model said that, say, very even horses were winning, there might be a time when a 3-3-2 would be very good, and these would be unbalanced. But if you're getting all fours, it's also telling you that something's wrong. If you believe in the methodology, you should be getting ones and twos someplace. And if you don't believe in the methodology, you shouldn't be betting.
This is the end of the tape.